Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The battle, the fight. We're less than 2 hours away from this president, Donald J. Trump, getting ready to take to the podium to announce what will be his Supreme Court nominee. Two people seem to be standing alone, Neil Gorsuch and Thomas Hardiman. Thomas Hardiman, circuit court judge, as well as Neil Gorsuch. He's somebody who works with the sister of the president as well. She's an appellate court judge, and he knows Thomas Hardiman pretty well. But Neil Gorsuch seems to be the person that's leaking out that is going to be the president's choice. He is pretty much a like-for-like kind of replacement for Justice Scalia. And, you know, while there's been hemming and hawing about whether or not they're going to be a replacement, a filibuster, and will a nuclear option be used in a situation like this for the Supreme Court? The truth is, I think most Democrats realize it's a like-for-like kind of situation. This is a like-for-like, and that they're probably not going to put up the fight. But both of them are going to be there today because he reserves the right to make a last-minute, you know, decision, so you never know. But here's something else. What if he said we're going to add two? Well, you can't do that. Sure you can. Nothing in the Constitution says how many you have to have. You can have one. You can have 20. You can have 100. There's nothing in the Constitution. What if he said, I'm going to add two people? What do you guys think of them apples? Of all the people in the world to have the cojones to do it, I think this president is that guy. Am I right? Am I right? He may make them fight. I don't know. He may make, look, here's the deal. I'm going to put a gavel in the center of this room. I want you guys to charge at it. Whoever picks it up and beats the crap out of each other the most, you're there to be the victor. All right? And we're going to roll you out here, all bloodied and everything. I said, this is the guy I want fighting for my country. Gorsuch is exactly the kind of guy that I think if Scalia was going to pick somebody, he'd be on the short list of somebody to replace him. He's overwhelmingly a Second Amendment guy. He checks all the boxes when it comes to everything that conservative people look for. This is the guy that many people think is probably going to get. William Pryor is a little bit more on the side of maybe the pro-life, and I think a lot of people wanted that. He's talking about a pro-life judge. They're all pro-life, but Pryor was that kind of guy, and I think many people look at Gorsuch as this is the guy that is a like-for-like, so the Democrats would be tough to say, well, no, we're not going to do this. Remember, when Antonin Scalia died and they put Merrick Garland up there, the truth is that wasn't a like for like. And, you know, you want to have it as balanced as possible. You don't want an overriding, you know, 6-3 or 7-2 type of imbalance. And the next one, as producer Anthony so rightly pointed out, should something happen in the next year or so. And let's be real. Kennedy and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they're older. I mean, Scalia was younger than them. The possibility of something happening, it's not without the realm of possibility. It's not a conspiracy. That's where the battle would begin, right? Because nothing really changes on the court. It's still 5-4. Right now, it's 5-3. So nothing really changes on the court at this point in time when it comes to the big issues of choice, which is a lot of what people are looking at here. This was, and rights when it comes to guns, this is a like for like. The chances of them being a mass big brawl, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think the fact that they may invoke the nuclear option probably puts the Democrats on their heels and says, you know what, if we're going to wait, if we're going to do a filibuster, if we're going to do any of these things, let's hold off until we think this is the fight we need to pick up. This is it. But we'll find out tonight. This is a guy who has got a huge resume, considered, big experience when it comes to really some very important cases, including Hobby Lobby. So this is a guy who is definitely a very interesting, and we had heard over the last couple of weeks that he was really picking up momentum, but a lot of people still thought it was going to be Pryor. Because he had said, Trump's like, hey, we're going to have a pro-life guy. This is what we're going to have. We want a pro-life guy, and William Pryor was that kind of guy that people talked about as being the pro-life guy. But he has got, this is very much a situation where you're really changing like for like. The one thing the conservatives may not like is he's a term limit kind of guy. And some people, while constituents like term limits, some of the higher-ups in the Republican Party are not fans of that. I think it'll be okay. I really do. I think it's a like for like. And I wonder, if you're going to be anything, if your choice is to be, we were saying this, maybe we'll put this on the poll here. If your choice is to be president of the United States, Supreme Court justice, or walk on the moon, what would you want to do? That's a good one right there, right? 323-538-2423. That is the text line, 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter. You can go there. We'll put the poll up here in a little bit. So if you could choose any of those, would you like to be president? Would you like to be a Supreme Court justice? Or would you like to walk on the moon? And I say walk on the moon because it's completely different from the other two. And knowing how few people have actually walked on the surface of the moon, and to be one of those people has to be insane. Like, we just had the last person to walk on the moon just died, what, 2 weeks ago? But think about that. When he was alive, he was the only person out of 7 billion to have walked on the moon, to have looked back on Earth, to look back on Earth on the moon. How crazy is that? That's insane. So, I don't know. Producer Phil, how many people do you think have walked on the moon? What did you say?
I think it was 7.
Yeah. You know, and you can't type a walk on the moon because if you do, that stupid song comes up. Oh, my goodness. So we're going to get this tonight. We'll be carrying it live. It's 12 people, and I don't believe any of them are alive now. All men. Sounds like a sausage party. So there have been 12. There's 45 presidents, and I don't know how many justices we've had. So to have that kind of feel, would you have rather done any of those things? Man, I tell you what, it to me, Producer Phil, I know because you're a huge travel nut. There's no doubt in my mind you would rather have walked on the moon. I think that's easy to say. Anthony, what are you thinking? What would you? Walk on a Supreme Court justice was not part of our poll. Combine them up. I'm going to put them on the moon and walk on top of them while I'm president of the United States and I'm also a Supreme Court justice. How you like those apples? Anthony's hitting all of the buttons on that one. I think I would do, you know what? As weird as it sounds and the whole thought process of being the president sounds great, but I think being a justice, man, that's some power. And it sounds exciting, and it's a lifetime appointment. But walking on the moon when you know there's only been a dozen people that have ever done it, you know, and they all did it in Hollywood. We know that. But still, knowing those 12 kept that secret for that long, that's huge. I think I might do that. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the program, 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show, we've got two polls up already. We're going to add a third one here in a second. Boy Scouts are allowing transgender boys. Is this a political move or is it the right thing to do? 78% say it is political. And how big of a fight will Trump have on his hands with a SCOTUS pick? 7% says no fight at all. 48% says huge fight, but winnable. 22% say filibuster time. 23% says nuclear option. We're going to get that third poll up there. What would you rather do? Would you rather be president? Would you rather be a justice? Or would you rather walk on the moon? We've got so much politics and fun stuff to get to today, including something about the way that the phone in your hand was designed, how it was designed, and why it was designed the way it was. Wait till you hear this. So, so, so interesting. And it is all psychological. It's amazing. We got your urban word straight ahead. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Yo, DJ, drop that beat, partner.
Oh, dear God, no.
Do you have any questions?
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
We have bad, sad news to report. And also some creepy news. John, was it Wetton? Did I say his name right? Wetton?
John Wetton, yes.
Asia's singer. So this is him singing. Let's hear some of this. This is him and their hit. He died today at age 67 after we talked about him yesterday. So that must mean I'm some sort of seasayer and or a witch or a wizard. A witch or a wizard. Call me and let me know who you want me to eliminate next. You know what? I'm not going to – look, let me tell you something about Bieber. Did you see Bieber this weekend? He played hockey at the – because he's Canadian, and every Canadian's born with a sticker and skates. And he played at the celebrity game in Los Angeles for the All-Star weekend, and he was hilarious. He was – Chris Pronger destroyed him. You should look it up. He crushed him in the boards. Chris Pronger is a former NHL player. He's like 6'6". And just laid him out. He's a good sport. I like him. I have zero problems with him. The hate that people have for the Biebs is based on the fact that they want to be the Biebs, right? They want to be the Biebs. He's David Beckham, but he sings. That's what people want. When he's 32 or 35 and whatever, and he's settled down and he's a little relaxed and he's not so insane and buying monkeys and letting it drive the Lamborghini around, then people are like, right now he's got like $200 million and he's 22 years old. Like, why would everybody hates him? Because they're jealous. They're drinking Haterade. They're drinking Haterade. Hey, speaking of urban words, and that Haterade was one of them, we got a new one for you. This, ladies and germs, as we enlighten you and drop the knowledge right in your brain, is the urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day is cyber slacking. Cyber slacking, the act of avoiding work and or responsibilities by scouring the internet in search of games and other non-work related amusements and or doing personal stuff on your company's time. We'll use it in a sentence. Phil and I do a lot of cyber slacking on the Chad Benson Show. That's your urban word of the day.
In that dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
The man, the myth, the legend that is Donald Trump, who has angered everybody and then some, is seeing many people head out again tonight to many airports to once again talk about what they call the Muslim ban, which is actually not a Muslim ban. It's a travel ban for, what is it, 7 countries out of 43 countries that are predominantly Muslim. It is, you know, phrasing is the most important thing, and their phrasing is horrible. And you could see it in the way that the coverage is going. Not that he does himself any favors. It's not that Sean Spicer, that guy, that poor guy that comes out there, lives in the van down by the river. You've got to learn that you're going to have to use and play the media, right? You're going to have to use and play the media. But one thing's for sure, his constituents, the people that voted for him, the people that wanted Trump, they're happy as pie. They're happy as a pig in crap right now. They are over the moon. Texas, Arizona, the Rust Belt. He is saying, I'm doing all this stuff. I told you I was going to do it. Guess what? He's doing it. He is absolutely 110% doing it. He's going to replace Scalia with a very conservative person that is going to uphold the Second Amendment, who's pro-life but and a constitutionalist. He's doing all of those things that he said he was going to do. And the one thing he said he's going to do along the way that people were like, this is xenophobic and all this stuff, is there was going to be a moratorium on everybody coming into him from certain countries, and of which people say, we haven't had any terrorist attack from these 7 countries. But look at the Saudi Arabia, this, that, and the other. You do realize, though, of these 7 countries, we, if in the last 20 years, have done battle in most of these countries in some way, shape, or form. So just to get an understanding of it, it's not like that we haven't, you know, fought or been a part of the proxy war in Yemen or Somalia. Or does anybody remember Black Hawk Down? I mean, anybody remember that we were there? Just curious about any of that stuff? This is not insane. He just stretched it a little bit. But they're going to go out. They're going to protest. I had a guy today who he wrote me and he said, we should look at, you know, IDing each and every one of these people out there. And if they're getting government assistance, I'm like, look, here's the thing. That's not who we are as Americans, right? That's not. We're asking people to let this new administration get their opportunity to figure out how they want to vet people coming into this country in a way that they feel it's going to be safe. And if, and this is the way I would explain it to somebody who is completely against Donald Trump and how he's acting and the way that this is all going down. We are a pendulum swinging type world. We went very progressive with the likes of Barack Obama. We've now gone to the complete opposite. We went from a very subtle, very thoughtful kind of quiet candidate and president in Barack Obama to a guy that walks around like the walking tall and carries the big stick. And he's abrasive and he's in your face. But if you notice, we swing from one side to the other. If, for the sake of argument, somebody infiltrates people that are coming here as refugees and they carry out an attack like the Baklavan Theater or like what happened in Nice or Madrid or any place like that, or San Bernardino again, and it's traced back to the fact that they came through here in the process that was supposed to be so good vetting-wise, do you know what happens then? The sentiment leaves, and people look at the president and say, what are you going to do now? Even the people that were for it say, well, now we need to maybe take a look at it again. And then it goes too far to the opposite way. Let the president have his opportunity. If 120 days from now he's not satisfied and we need to rejig it a little bit, that's fine. But if 120 days from now the maybe of this becomes a certainty and he's never going to allow anybody in, then we've got a right to take to the streets and ask why. Because, again, that's not who we are. But we're also not idiots who want people to come here that we're not quite sure about and maybe cause us harm. It's about phrasing. I think if he would have come out and said that, maybe Sean Spicer should let me have the job. But I'm not wearing a tie. That's all I'm saying. I'm not. I don't care. You got to wear a tie. I don't have to do anything. Your phone, it's in front of you. You love it. You're addicted to it. And you know what? It was designed that way. Where do you hear this? This is an amazing story. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Kids and kittens, you love that there thing that you got right at your fingertips. It's called your phone. You are obsessed with it. We are all obsessed with it. How much so? About 150 times a day obsessed with it. Literally, you're going to go blind. Read a study last week that we are losing our eyesight. It's changing because of we're having screen issues. Our eyes are becoming weaker because we're hyper-focused on the screens in front of us. Remember when you were a kid? Don't sit so close to the TV. You're going to go blind. Well, now you may. It's an obsession. It's an addiction. And it was designed that way. Great piece on PBS NewsHour. A gentleman by the name of Tristan Harris, he's a former Google employee, and he says, the reason you're addicted to the phone is no accident. He talks about it here.
For any company whose business model is advertising or engagement-based advertising, meaning they care about the amount of time someone spends on the product, they make more money the more time people spend. So the game becomes, how can I throw different persuasive techniques to get people to stay, to spend as long as possible, and to come back?
Translation, psychology. When they were designing stuff, what do you look for? Well, we could try this, we could try that. You could be the greatest designer in the world. You could be the greatest artist in the world. But there's a psychology to everything. How do I take something and make it a certain thing? Music. We've talked about music. One of the things about music, and especially electronic music, and the huge explosion is because there is a formula and there is a rhythm, a beat, a heartbeat kind of feel that mimics a human heart, which people jump onto. Everything in life is about psychology to a certain extent. How can I evoke an emotion? How can I get a reaction? I tell people, if you're going to do sales, sales books are great for setting goals and pumping yourself up. But let me tell you something. Psychology books will get you the sales. Psychology books. Video games, the explosion of video games. Over the next 20 years, the LeBron James of the world are going to be nerds and guys and gals who are obsessed with playing video games. That's who the LeBron Jameses of the world, the Messis, the Ronaldos, the Tom Bradys, those are going to be megastars worldwide and on the internet. There's a psychology to games that's more than just beating each other in a one-on-one competition. All of us come to the games because we play them. What do we like to do? We love to achieve. No matter how small of an achievement it is, we love to achieve. The psychology there. It's like the little mouse or the little rat that goes over and hits the thing, gets the cheese ball, hits the thing, gets the cheese ball. This phone is that to us. It is designed in such a way that we are addicted to it. And we check it so many times a day. The psychology. If I'm going to come out with something today, let's say you're putting something together, right? No matter what it is, whatever kind of package you think you're putting together that you're going to sell to the public, the greatest widget of all time. One of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to find a psychologist who specializes in marketing, and I'm going to say to them, how do we make this addictive along the way? What can I do that's going to make this addictive and a must-have so when you have it once, you want it again, and when you want it again, you want it again, and because you want it again, and then it becomes to the point where you don't even know you want it. You just continue to click the little thing over and over again. Oh, very, very interesting. Remember, it was designed that way. He talks about the fact that it manipulates you. You don't manipulate it.
You're sitting there and you just start using your phone to do something productive. Maybe you're in the back of a car, in a taxi, or you're on public transportation. You know, your phone is always giving you a way to spend time that can be more productive, more entertaining, or more stimulating than reality. I often say that this puts a new choice on life's menu that's sweeter than reality. And so we're turning to it more and more often. We check our phones about 150 times a day.
150 times a day, we check our phones. 150 times a day. In the space of the last several minutes since I've started the show, many of you have looked at your phone once, twice, maybe even a little bit more than that. That's just who we are. It's what we do. We want to find out what's going on. Oh, wait, my phone went off. And we can justify this because we use our phone for so many daily necessities now, like where are our kids, or I'm doing work, or it's not just about fun. Fun's what keeps us there. I'm here for this, but I'll check my Facebook. I'm here for this, so I'll check this. I'm here for this, so it's great. Now, I think they were a little bit more in-depth than he wants to lead on about, because he talked about Gmail in his next cut. He talks about how it was somewhat designed. I think they were far more in depth, especially the likes of the Google guys, Sergey Brin and those guys. I think they realize that, and if you look at the analytics and the way that when you type something into Google, it's all about analytics. It's all about analytics. It's all about finding out stuff. What pushes your buttons? What excites you? What? What is that hot button thing that's going to get you going? Continue, sir.
There was no one in the Gmail team who said, how can we addict people to email? There's no one who said that. That was never a goal. But you did hear conversations like, should we make it buzz your phone every single time you get an email? You know, there's a design question. But the outcome of that one choice would be a billion people getting buzzed at dinners with their dates and with their friends and with their family. All of these billions of phones by the product of this one choice would be affected and interrupted all the time.
And that's okay. You can turn your phone down, but it's the dinner bell. In essence, it's the dinner bell, right? You go, like, I used to have these amazing little kitties, and they were hilarious. You could say, kitty, 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 and they weren't going to come. The minute they heard the, when you were opening up their food, out of everywhere, boom, they would be there. It's the dinner bell. It's the ding. Oh, I have to check that. Oh, I know that is a text message, and I'm waiting for one, or that is my junk mail email. We know now what it is that we're looking for. We've programmed ourselves. That's amazing. Look, all of us are looking for an edge. I'm looking for edge. What can I do every single day that's going to get you to come back and listen to me? What can I do every single day that's going to get you to come back and pay attention to me? How can I evoke a reaction from you? How can I get you to listen to my program? Politics right now is using psychology, politicians, to great ends. When we watched this last campaign cycle that was at times crazier than we've seen in a long time, when we watched this, what did we see? Psychology at work on stage. The master manipulator was Donald Trump. He manipulated everybody. He slowly but surely turned people against each other. He got them out of their comfort zones, and he won. Then he took on and used psychology to defeat Hillary Clinton. The Democrats are using psychology now. How were they doing that? It's pretty simple. They're taking fear, which is a very human emotion, a very real emotion, an emotion that is one of the probably top two or three that will get you to react to certain things in such a way. Greed, love, fear. And they're getting people to react to this president. Because they know that it's not a ban on Muslims. They understand that President Obama had put these in place. He said he was going to do this, and he has not made this a in perpetuity ban as far as travel goes there. He understands that. They understand that. But what's the best thing to do? Get a reaction. Fear. I'm going to use fear of we're taking away your rights, and we're going to come for you guys next. Let me tell you how this is going to work. This is fear. Fear, fear, fear. When it's not fear, it's about reward. And he talks about that with Twitter. And again, this is Tristan Harris. He's a former Google employee that is understanding how and why the phone was built the way it is and kind of shedding light on why we're so addicted.
Have you noticed if you ever log into Twitter, as an example? So there's an extra delay that you don't know how long it's going to take. It's between 2 and 3 seconds, where that the number of new notifications on Twitter you have. So why is that there? Well, it makes that into a, what's called a variable schedule reward. It's like a slot machine. So you're playing the slot machine, and there's a time delay, and you're in that time delay, your anticipation's building, and then you get to see how many notifications I get. And so you become more addicted to checking it again the next time.
It's that give me, give me, give me. What is it about likes? We become addicted to likes. We like to see how many likes we get. How many times do people click through? How many people like our page? How many people do this? How many... We get that. We love that. Video games are the same way. Video games are the same way. A case in point, World of Warcraft. My Uncle Paul, of course, does Tech Tuesdays when he comes around, and we talked to him yesterday. He worked at Blizzard. He was employee number 6 or 7 long ago when they were a struggling small little outfit that was just growing to the multi-billion-dollar corporation it is now. He would say that, you know, we would design these games in such a way that, yes, they have to be playable, enjoyable, but what can we do to get you to continue to play the game? There's got to be steps along the way that you will have to take that is not really part of the game, but rewards you in such a way that they give you things. And because of that, you want to achieve more. And you'll find guys that have been playing World of Warcraft, and the more that they add, even if it was a small badge, they would go from the highest level down to the lowest level because they needed that badge. It was about getting something. That is what all this is about. The phone's the same way. It rewards us. We've become addicted to it. We're okay with it because it's part of our life and it's part of what we also do. But what a brilliant way that they've done it. There has never been anything more addicting, I think, to human beings than the internet and the phone. Because people who live in the poorest parts of the world have some sort of cellular phone and opportunity to use a cell phone. And people homeless. I was getting something to drink the other day. There was a homeless guy. I see him all the time. You know what he has? He has a cell phone. I don't know what he's doing with it. I don't know if he's calling. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. We're going to hang out. You want to meet over here? We'll go dumpster diving. Well, that sounds fantastic. I don't know what he was doing. But the fact that he has it. And it's, again, we're addicted to it. So if you're looking to start a business, the first place you need to start is find somebody who marketing-wise understands how to twist and turn and manipulate to get people to grab the emotion you're looking for, evoke that emotion on them, and from there, you'll have your winner. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chad Benson. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We've got a couple different polls up. Some of them are getting ready to close down. SCOTUS pick right now. Judge Gorsuch looks like he's in the lead, and by all accounts, it sounds like he's going to be the winner, winner, chicken dinner anyways, coming up in about an hour and 13 minutes or so. And then the one we just put up, which, what would you rather have done? Would you rather have been the president, Supreme Court judge, or walk on the moon? Right now, 65% of people say walk on the moon, 30% Supreme Court justice, and 5% says president. Nobody wants that job. Nobody wants that job. What was the last meal that these people had? Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chad. Hang on. I was checking my phone.
How the hell does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It is the Chad Benson Show. Execution, probably not a pretty thing. Probably not a pretty thing at all. But before you get executed, they give you an opportunity in life to have a final meal. And we've got some famous final meals here. You could tweet at the Chad Benson Show, what would be your final meal? Or text us, 323-538-2423. What would be your final meal? Producer Phil, you have said that you are going to go with
In-N-Out
Burger. In-N-Out. What, now, how are you getting your In-N-Out?
Double-double animal style, please.
Animal style at that point in time? Do you really need an animal style? I mean, could you just put everything on there? Put everything. Go. Why not go 4x4?
Heck, if they will still do the 8x8 or the 10x10, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to say? Well, this may be bad for his cholesterol. Well, we're going to electrocute him in 20 minutes, so I don't think it really matters. You're going to leave a hell of a mess, too, when you're done, brother. I'm just letting you know that as you evacuate everything. Producer Anthony, what's your final one? Pizza and ice cream. Pizza and ice cream. Victor Fregur, he was put to death in Iowa. Age 28, he was hung for kidnapping and murder. His last meal was very bizarre. A single olive with a pit in it. A single olive with a pit in it. Interesting. John Wayne Gacy. Oh, yes. The man that loves to be a clown and is an evil SOB. No longer with us. Died by lethal injection, age 52. Gacy requested 12 fried shrimp, a bucket of original recipe KFC, French fries, and a pound of strawberries. By the way, he managed 3 KFCs in his lifetime. So maybe that's why he loved them. Timothy McVeigh, scumbag. He got 2 pints of ice cream. This guy here has got the worst, best name of all time. And when you're born and then your mother looks at you and say, I'm naming you this, she might as well have said, and I may be there when they put you down. I don't know. Ricky Ray Rector. Ricky Ray Rector.
Rector? Hell, he killed her.
Yes, he did. His defense team argued that he was incapacitated during his time on death row mentally and that he shouldn't be put to death. They said, well, just in case, why don't we feed him a final meal and then we'll ask him in a little bit. He got steak, fried chicken, cherry Kool-Aid, and pecan pie. He left the pecan pie and said, hey, guard, I'm going to save this for later. No word if old Rector got anything back. Steven Anderson put to death in California at age 49. His last meal, 2 grilled cheese sandwiches, a cottage cheese with some sort of hominy corn mixture, peach pie, chocolate chip ice cream, and radishes. Yeah, right? That is nasty. Ronnie Lee Gardner. If Lee is your middle name and you're not a girl, there's a good chance you're probably got somebody in the family, or it may be you that may be in a similar situation. His last meal, Gardner requested steak, lobster tail, apple pie, a little surf and turf, huh? Vanilla ice cream, and he wanted to eat it all while watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Now, Producer Phil, you told me earlier that there is a price thing and or if we can make it here thing.
There is a price point for your last meal. You know, everyone's cracking down on prices and trying to cut corners. So, yeah, a lot of states, if you don't have a last meal that is within the wherewithal of the prison and I think around $20, you're not getting it.
Wow, that sucks. Ted Bundy, horrible human being, didn't want anything, so they gave him the traditional last meal. Steaks cooked medium rare, eggs over easy, hash browns, toast with butter, jelly, milk, and juice. Did not eat. Did not eat. Teresa Lewis, a female who was put to death, 41 years old. Her last meal, she requested fried chicken, peas, butter, apple pie, and Dr. Pepper. And Sacco and Vicente, for their last meal, they got soup, tea, meat, and toast. Meat. That's just it. I'll have some meat. Really? No specific? Nope, just some meat. Just, that's it. That's it. Would you put it in your pockets, just in case? Chad, that's rude. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson. You can text the program. What would your last meal be? 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Little over an hour away of finding out who's going to be the person that takes over for Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court. Neil Gorsuch seems to be the guy that's in the lead. We'll find out, though, a little bit over an hour or so as the Donald will take to the podium to announce his choice. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.